Before Christine speaks, I want to make a point of clarification. This is not her last Sabbath with us. Next week will be her temporary last Sabbath with us, because she is coming back to visit us from time to time. Okay, but next week is finals, and so it was better for her speaking this Sabbath. But we'll have our farewell thank yous next Sabbath. But I just wanted to let you know that you'll get a chance to tell her that next Sabbath. So thank you, Christine, for all you've done.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Sabbath. Hopefully you can hear me. Is it working? Thinking about the last sermon I was going to have here, and thinking about my time here at Corona, I thought the title was pretty good for how I felt. It feels like time is up. I had a lot of hopes. Thank you, Gary. I had a lot of hopes for what I was going to do here, how much things we were going to get done. But the truth is that it was an experience I will never forget. And I thank you all so much for this. 2 weeks ago now, it was May 21st, and we had kind of an episode of something that resonates with us as Adventists. We had a gentleman, last name Camping, who was making prophecies that God was going to come. And since then, they've had to deal with the disappointment of such a claim when Christ did not come. And so kind of seeing another community dealing with a lot of the same issues that we have, it's kind of resonated with how and where we are right now in our church and in our communities and in this world. And so I ask for you to bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, speak through me. Lord, I pray to be a vessel for your message to shine through, to comfort us in a time when it seems that things are coming to an end, but still continue. Lord, guide us and help us in our everyday life to follow you more. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And so thinking about a text for today, one that expressed the kind of groaning that we have, I looked, let's see if this works. I looked at Romans 8, 22-23. And it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. And so what does the groaning of creation look like? Just go ahead and go through the series of pictures. Here are some of the things that we've had to deal with in the past 2 years. Animals being killed by our own creation, it seems. Sinkholes, a mystery I've never even heard of, coming up in the middle of cities, destroying what we've created. Tsunamis, taking over landscapes, destroying byways and streets. Tornadoes, taking over, picking up houses, choosing and picking which house to destroy, or maybe even islands, and taking cars and spinning them like little bugs. Earthquakes that come in the middle of everything. Thank you. Fires, something that we here in California seem to deal with the most. And most recently, flooding. In Mississippi, we had some floods. And we try so hard to protect ourselves from these, and sometimes we succeed, but most of the time we don't. And so, Romans 24-25, it says, for in this hope we are saved. Honestly, Paul, honestly, church, do we feel safe? Do we feel like we are truly safe? We try to protect ourselves with cities and things, but do we feel safe? But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes what he or she already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. As Jesus was walking with the disciples, they passed by the beautiful temple of Jerusalem, their pride and joy. And Jesus said probably one of the most provocative things a Jewish man could say. He turned to the temple and he said, not one stone will be left on the other. In 3 days, this will be destroyed.
Can you just imagine maybe Pastor Gary walking by and saying, this church will be destroyed? And so shyly, what response do disciples have? And they ask Christ in Matthew 24:3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? This is a question we often ask today, right? To this, Jesus, the one who will be coming in the clouds of glory, answers saying, there will be much tribulation. Nations will rise against nations. People will run to and fro. Sound familiar? But be prepared, because you do not know. You do not know when I will return. It will be like a thief in the night. And Jesus continues, speaking parable after parable, parables that seem to speak to us even today, without even needing to look at the culture sometimes. So Jesus says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went out at once and gained 5 more. The one who had received the 2 talents did the same and went and added 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug it into the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward proudly, bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came. He said, Master, I knew that you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I went and I hid your talent in the ground, for I was fearful of you. I was scared of you. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, so at least I would have interest coming to me. So take the talent from him. Give it to the one with the 10 talents. For everyone who will be more given to him, and those who have none, even that will be taken from them. So church, I want us to sincerely ask ourselves, how are we like the servant who was given only 1 talent? I'm going to make a hard claim here because it's one against my own self. I think that when we look at the Bible, when we take the Bible and we make it a sign, when we look at the signs and not at God, then we have buried our talents. Just imagine with me one day, those who graduated junior high Thursday, if you went to your first day of freshman year and you came to Lost Year Academy, you arrived, and you stopped at the sign. You stare at the sign, you're happy, it's your first day, you're wearing your best, but you never enter in to the campus. You never go to your first class. Those of you who go to work on a daily basis, imagine if you went to work and you stopped at your sign, the sign for your job, and you just stay there, and you're like, I have arrived, I'm here, and you're celebrating. How long would you have your job, honestly? We can't just stop at the signs. We go to what the signs point to. And when we take the Bible and we stop there, then we have hidden, we have stopped using the Bible for what it's for. The Bible points us to God. The Bible points us to who Christ was, is, and will always be. And so when we use Bible, when we use prophecies to look at God, then I think we're using the right method. And so I had to ask myself, since there's this awareness for prophecies lately, once again, I had to ask, what are prophets? What were prophets doing? How did God call prophets? So this last week, during our time together as a staff with God, I looked through the different prophets and God's call to them. And I noticed something. Each prophet in the Bible was called out of a problem. There was a problem in society. There was something wrong. God's people had left God. And God went to a human, and said, I will equip you, and I will give you my message to give to my people. Here is just one, Isaiah 1, 17, 18. Here's what God called Isaiah to do. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. It seems that at this point we see what prophets were. It seems that at this point we know what prophecies are for. And Jesus may be instigating the questioning of, what do we do while we wait? What do we do with our lives? What are we called to do while we wait? He continues with another parable. When the Son of Man comes in the glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered the nations, and he will separate people one from another, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and he will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and welcome you? Or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it for me. I'm going to say that again. As you've done it for one of the greatest of these, as you've done it for the rich people, as you've given them respect? No, as you've done it for the least of these. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal life prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. We are called, while we wait, to give others food, clothing, companionship, shelter, protection, joy, love, hope, faith, as we wait. We are called to help the least of these. Now the question still remains, how can we? How can we help others if we don't already have these? How can you give something you don't have yourself? How can you give someone hope when you don't have hope yourself? And so let's look to find how we can have a stronger hope. And we will actually look at hope, love, and prayer, because these are the essentials of how to help others. So Hebrews 11 and 1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So hope and faith go hand in hand. As Romans 8:22, it said that if we have hope, then why would we want it? If we were given all the information, all the evidence, everything, all the proof for God, for anything, why would we need faith? Why would we need hope? I can tell you right now, every single one of us here has faith. I don't know, I don't care where your journey is right now. I don't know how you feel about God, how you feel about even where you stand. But you have faith. The fact that everyone here is sitting down says that you have faith in the chair you're on, right? It's not going to break. Whenever you buy something, you have faith that that dollar has some kind of value. And not only you, but the person that you're giving to, who's giving you something in return. We all have faith. It's easy to have faith in those things that make sense. We have evidence that the pew that you're sitting on is going to hold because it held before. We have faith, we have hope, it makes sense to have a government and have money, and we know that things have value because of that. But what about those things that we can't touch? What about those things that aren't tangible? What about faith and hope in God? This is true faith. We are not called to blind faith, but faith that seeks understanding. Faith that continues to ask questions, hard questions. Faith and hope that stands in the grace of God as we're justified and at peace with God and our relationship with others. And so Romans 5, our text for today, Romans 5, 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." We can be confident in that stand. Faith guides us to peace and grace with God our Savior. Paul continues, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." I can tell you that when you are in a deep relationship with someone, just as God asks us to be a deep relationship with Him, your character is built the longer you've committed. I haven't been married very long. I haven't been with Jamie for longer than only a year now. But the perseverance and the commitment of our relationship has made us stronger, has made my character stronger, more than I've ever had to experience. And so Ellen White talks about this as well in the next slide. It says, "Let us draw nearer and nearer to the pure light of heaven, remembering that divine illumination will increase according to our onward movements, qualifying us to meet new responsibilities and emergencies. The path of the just is progressive, from strength to strength, from grace to grace, and glory to glory." This is Ellen Harmon, better known as Ellen G. White. This is her first vision. Much like what Camping's group had to experience just recently, we, the Adventists, experienced the great disappointment October 22, 1844. Ellen Harmon, a 16-year-old girl, felt the pain and confusion of Christ's absence. As she searched the scriptures with her sister, God gave her a vision of a path leading to heaven from this world. The path was lighted by the Bible and grew even brighter as the closer she grew to Christ. It is because of our hope in Christ and our vision of a better place, heaven, that we are given strength and guidance to actually be able to help others. Continuing on, the next aspect that we need to have to be able to help others is love. In Romans 25, the rest of the text, it says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." So love, a word that's often used, overused, underused, not used enough. Love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit, and through God in relationship with others. It is because of our love for God that we can help others. As Mother Teresa would pick up a body made up of nothing but skin and bones from the gutters of Calcutta, she would begin to wash his face and claim that this is the face of Christ. Mother Teresa would also proclaim that the laughter of a child is the laughter of God. What is the most interesting thing about Mother Teresa's ministry to me is that when she arrived on American soil to continue her work of healing, she noticed a deeper and more painful kind of poverty, a poverty of love. Her work throughout this great country was love, a ministry of love, something that can't be easily fixed through sutures, through bandages, through food clothing. When we look at those who are homeless on the streets, I sometimes want to go up to them and start singing the song of, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I have Christ, let me give you Christ, get up and walk." But then I realize they're not crippled. I realize they're not necessarily there because of some kind of physical ailment sometimes. It's often much deeper than any of us can totally understand. It's a ministry of love that we need. So like the servant who was given the one talent, with which he buried into the ground, we have been given faith, hope, and love. And honestly, we often bury those gifts. And this is our weakness. But God promised us help, prayer. The next slide says, Romans 8:26, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know when we ought to pray, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans, words cannot express." The next slide, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." And as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us today, and as the Spirit continues to read our hearts even now, I ask that you stand with me. I'm going to share with you a song that I have always had with me as I've grown up that brought me strength as I knew that the Lord was reading my heart. And the song is called La La La, because I want you to take this chance to push away the dirt, to push away the things that might be holding this talent underground. Push away the things that hold you from hope, from love, from prayer. And I ask for you to share your heart and your sufferings and your joy with the Lord.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, what are they? And since your Spirit intercedes for me, what do you hear when I pray? 'Cause I'm finding it hard to find the words to let you know how my heart can hurt. So I'll sing a tune.
Holy Spirit, God, read our hearts today. Read our minds. Read our situation in life. Guide us, I pray. But Lord, help us. Help us to move away the dirt and to reveal the gifts that you've given us. Lord, pour your love into our hearts. Pour your unconditional love into our very being so that we can have the confidence, the boldness, the strength to help others as you have called us to do. Help us to be focused on who you are, to see you in all that we do. And Lord, as we turn to those that we see on a daily basis who need our help, I pray that you guide us to know, to have the wisdom, to help, to search out the least of these, to search out you, God. Holy Spirit, please take our prayers to the Lord and guide us as we go on our way and as we worship you every day. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray.